Praise the Lord. If you know the God that we just sang about, something in you, inside of you, wants to shout a little bit. Amen? And that's okay. That's okay when we talk about how He's unchangeable, He's unshakable, and He's unstoppable, and He lives inside of us. And that He loved us so much that He sent His only Son to this earth to die for me. Listen, that's shouting ground. That's what the old folks used to call it. Any old folks here remember that term? That's shouting ground. Anybody here on shouting ground this morning? Yeah, listen, don't be afraid. Everybody's always worried. That's what's wrong with our society nowadays. Everybody's always worried about what other people are going to think. Who cares what other people think? Because here's the thing. Kirk Hall, that's me if you don't know me. I was destined for hell. The Gospel of John says I was condemned already. And Jesus Christ saw fit, according to the plan of God, to come to this earth and to die for a wretched, wicked person like me. And when I realize that and when I walk in that, whoo, that's shouting ground. And here's what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to apologize to anybody for being politically incorrect and shouting from the pulpit. The decline in America began when preachers stopped proclaiming loudly and shouting from the pulpit the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to the book of Romans, the epistle that Paul writes to the church as he's giving them instructions. And today our instructions are in regard to the series that we've started entitled Priceless Blessings from God. Priceless Blessings from God. And it's at a time that many of you have lost everything as far as earthly possessions go on the heels of a flood. And I know people think that I'm insensitive when I say things like this, right? Those are just things. That doesn't make me insensitive. Nothing that you lost in this flood, if you lost things, would you take with you to heaven anyway? So for a minute, we might want to start thinking like this. Maybe God's preparing me to focus on the things that I need to focus on with the limited amount of time that I still have on this earth. Because I promise you, even if you live to 100, the Word of God says your life is but a vapor. You have a limited amount of time on this earth. And I don't want you to miss out, and I know that God doesn't want you to miss out on the priceless blessings that He gives us, the eternal things that He blesses us with. We can't earn and we cannot find in this world. Because I promise you, we're going to talk about the blessing of hope today. And I was once a guy looking for hope in other things. I was looking for hope in athletics. I was looking for hope in knowledge. I was looking for hope in any place that I could find hope and acceptance. But I do know this. I know that true hope, please listen to me, true hope is only found through Jesus Christ, when God blesses you by His grace with hope. Romans chapter 8, if you have your Bible, let's go there and let's read together the text. And then what I want to do is I want to break down this text in regard to hope. And I want you, if you're a believer here today, to leave this place no longer taking for granted the blessing that hope is in your life. And if you're not a believer here today, I have been praying. I prayed again today, and I'm praying in my spirit right now that He would knock the scales from your eyes and that you would see that eternal hope is only found through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And today He would draw you out of your sin and draw you into the hope of Jesus Christ that we're going to read about and that we're going to talk about this morning. So as we read Romans chapter 8, it says, therefore there is now no condemnation, verse 1, for those who are in Christ Jesus. Let me just say this, that's shouting ground. Because let me tell you something. I already told you that the Gospel of John said that Kirk Hall was condemned already. The moment that I came out of my mother's womb, I was already a sinner. And this verse here changes everything. Therefore there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemns sin in sinful man in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. Is it okay if I read about 25 verses? I know they tell you this, all the fancy Bible people, they tell you this, that if you read too much text, you'll lose the people. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to get lost. I want you to get lost in the middle of this text and see how rich it is. He goes on and he says this. Verse 5, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires, the things of this world, the success of the flesh. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. You know what the Spirit desires? I promise we're going to get to it in a minute. He desires you to walk in the hope that you've been given in Christ Jesus. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. We talked about peace a little last week. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Everybody listen, those people who are here and you've not trusted Jesus with your sin and you're trying to work out salvation by earning it, He says you can't. You can't do what's right without God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot, listen, watch this, those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. Tell you right now, before Christ, I was in a heap of trouble. Before He placed hope inside of me, because I promise you, I didn't find hope, hope found me. When He placed hope inside of me, everything changed. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature. He's speaking to the church, the true believer here. He says, you are not controlled by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit, if the Spirit of God lives in you. He's going to get theological here for a second. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, watch this, he does not belong to Christ. Uh-oh. That's for all you people who say you got a second blessing of the Holy Spirit later on down the road. Let me tell you what happened. You got something. You got saved. And you want to call it something different because you can't look at black and white in Scripture and realize He said if the Spirit wasn't present, you weren't in Christ anyway. Uh-oh. So stop telling people that Jesus was not the package deal that the Word of God says He is. Every promise of God is yes and amen in Christ, including the promise of the Holy Spirit. You don't have to do anything. I love that. People think, well, but you got to get saved. And yeah, God does all the saving. But in order to get the Holy Ghost, right, you got to do this, 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 and this. That is bogus. That's junk. It's false teaching. So call it what it is. When the Spirit moved in, let me tell you something. You got saved. If the Spirit's not in, you're still lost. That's why you're still wallowing in your sin. Just upset all of the charismatic apple cart this morning. He goes on, he says, but if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin. He says, you've been crucified with Christ. How many of you are thankful that I died on a cross 2,000 years ago? Watch this. 2,000 years and 3 days later, I rose to new life with Christ. You say, huh? Yeah, go back and read the Bible. That's what it teaches. I know, we're bringing the Bible in church, new concept. I was supposed to give you a motivational speech and just throw a verse in at the end to make me feel okay about it. He says, and if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, He who raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. He says there's regeneration going on in your mortal body. Did you catch that? Not your immortal body. We're going to get an immortal body one day. He's talking about your mortal body. He's saying this. We have the hope and we see the hope. We're going to get to hope here in a second. But we see that hope because of the change that the Holy Spirit is bringing in us. I love when people say, yeah, I got the Holy Spirit, my life changed. I saved for years, but when I got the Holy Spirit, my life, no. When you got the Holy Spirit, you got saved. And things begin to change because before the Holy Spirit was present in your life, you couldn't change. We just read that. Why do we take whole passages of Scripture and throw them in the garbage? That's what he's saying. Sorry for yelling. Sorry, not sorry. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. This is verse 12. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death, by the Spirit, watch this, you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the Spirit of sonship, and by Him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself teaches with our spirit, with our spirit, that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings. Uh-oh, there's that word again. Seems to be popping up a lot lately. In order that we may also share in His glory. Everybody wants the glory. Nobody wants the suffering. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. The creation waits in eager expectation for the sons of God to be revealed. Why? Because they know this. They know sin has taken a toll on everything. Creation understands that one day, their Creator God, just like He's our Creator, will set things back in order. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the One who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the glorious freedom of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons. Oh man, isn't it good to be some of those who have the first fruits of the Spirit in us, guaranteeing our sonship and our adoption that is to come to full fruition when Christ returns. He said, for in this hope, watch this, pay attention. In this hope, we were saved. But hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he already has? Pay attention to what he's telling us. But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Patiently waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to return, so the hope that we trust in now by faith will be made sight. Oh, what a glorious day. I know some of you want everything now. Let me help you out. You're not getting it now. Everybody wants the millennial reign now, right? We try to make our services the millennial reign. It ain't happening. We in our feeble human efforts right now sing praise to God, but one day we will sing to Him in a glorified state like nothing you have ever seen or heard. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. I don't want to read that. I'm going to stop at 25. We're going to come back and get that. Can we do that? Is that all right? Let's read it anyways. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, and we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. Oh, how glorious is that? Those of us who are believers, we don't even know what to say, right? We look at society nowadays and the deterioration of society and morals before our very eyes. We don't even have words to say, do we? The Spirit prays on our behalf, and He searches our hearts, and He knows the mind of the Spirit because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. But I want to talk to you about that verse that contained the word hope two times there. I want to talk to you about hope. I want to talk to you about hope in regard to this passage that we just looked at. And I understand, 25 verses, some of you are already maxed out. That's more than you usually get in a week. But I promise you, in this 25 verses that we just looked at today, we actually looked at 26 or 27, didn't we? But those other ones were just bonus because they're good. But the 25 that we're going to break down today, and we're going to for just a few moments together, I say a few moments, y'all know that might or might not be true. See why we have this hope by faith. What is this hope made of? Because in Christ, I promise you have a blessing of hope. Just as I've said about every blessing that we've covered so far that's eternal, it's one of the greatest blessings that God can give us. Hope. How many of you before Christ, you were hopeless? How many of you before Christ, you were so hopeless that you really didn't even notice that you were hopeless? You just thought you were just doing what people do, and all people are hopeless. In the moment that hope entered into your life, everything change. Because by faith you trusted in the hope that you had in Christ. As we look at hope, the great blessing of hope, I want you to see this. Hope is not only a blessing. Hope is something that carries us through this life as we wait for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hope is that thing that when we're faced with tumultuous situations, we're faced with trials, we're faced with, as he already said, suffering. And I'm sorry, I don't write this. God already wrote it. It includes suffering again. How many are getting tired of hearing about it? I'm not. Some say yes. I'm not. Because it's according to my suffering that I am an heir to Christ. Or an heir to the Father in Christ. We look at this, and I want you to look at something. It's hope, number one, of deliverance from sin. Verse 1 through 8 says this, as we read it a moment ago, and we'll read it again. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is now no more condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Hope is hope of the deliverance of sin. So let me ask this question. Have I been ultimately delivered from sin yet in my mortal body? Absolutely not. Am I being delivered as the Spirit does His work in me? Positively so. Is it about me trusting in what I can't see instead of what I can see? So we know this, deliverance of sin, the hope that we have of being delivered, both in this life and ultimately delivered. And I long for that day. There will one day be no more struggle with my flesh. But right now, I have to hold on to the hope that I can't see. The hope that His promises that we just read about are true, that the Spirit is regenerating Kirk Hall. And when I'm walking in the Spirit, I am walking out of my flesh. I am being delivered by the Holy Spirit and the grace of God through Jesus Christ from my very sinful nature as we speak. And that's for all of us who are in Christ. You are delivered, you're being delivered, and you will ultimately, one day when Christ returns, be delivered forever. I get sick and tired, even mad sometimes. At preachers who call people to the altar to get delivered from sin. And what these people want to see, they want to see sin jump off their body. Or sickness jump off their body. Here's the thing. That's not the promise of God of deliverance. The promise of God of deliverance is that you are positionally delivered in Christ. We're seated in the heavenlies. We have citizenship there. We talked about it for months. But I am also being delivered in Christ through the Holy Spirit right now. The deliverance of sin is taking place in my mortal body. Ask yourself this, if you've been a Christian for any amount of time, are there things that are in your life or that have been removed from your life that were in your life pre-Jesus Christ saving you that now God has removed those things from you? Here's the thing. You are being delivered. And guess what? There is no prayer offered up by man that can deliver you from sin. Are you listening? Stop going forward at these altar calls and letting people sling sweat on you and touch you with their anointed rags and their anointed hands. Let me tell you something. That man's hands are no more anointed than the little grandma who's praying at her house right now, who's homebound and can't get out. And the thing is, we need to look at this and we need to understand. He's saying, in Christ, we have the hope by faith of the deliverance of sin in this life, continuing on into all eternity where we will be delivered forever. I get excited when I think about that. Because most of you don't ever think about the blessing of hope. Listen, I want you to think about what it means to have the hope that I am delivered from sin, I'm being delivered from sin, and I will be delivered from sin. Just like Jesus said, He said this through the Apostle Paul, be confident of this, that He who has begun a good work in you will carry it unto completion. He's going to finish what He started. So we can rest in the fact that we have hope through the deliverance of sin. Anybody here say, man, I need to be delivered. Let me tell you this. In just a few minutes, when the voice of God speaks to your heart for the very first time and you hear Him call you out of darkness and into light, listen, surrender, throw your hands in the air and say, Jesus, You are my Lord and my Savior. You are my only hope of deliverance of sin, because I promise you in that moment, that's what He's going to show you. I'll never forget it. It's like it was yesterday. I hope I never get over it. When I thought I was okay. And God, through the Holy Spirit, showed me, son, you are not okay. You're wretched. You're poor. You're pitiful. You are blind. But I have the answer that will deliver you from your sin. And some old school preacher got up there, and he might have yelled a little bit. He might even hit the pulpit. But he got my attention. And God used the Word of God, just as He always does. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word. And He used the Word of God, and He instilled through the Word of God that faith that allowed me to believe and to surrender to Jesus Christ in my life that day. I promise you this, I've been delivered from sin ever since. And I've been being delivered from sin ever since, and one day I look forward to it. One day I ain't going to have to struggle with this old guy anymore. One day, because of what Jesus Christ has done for me, I have the hope by faith that I will be delivered from sin forever. The hope of deliverance from sin. The second thing, the hope through the Holy Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit, verse 9 through 17, we already read it. He talked about the Spirit's work that is in us. And how those of you who are truly born again are no longer controlled by your sinful nature, but you're controlled by the Spirit. And that the Spirit is doing a work in you. Let me tell you something, folks. I was in a denomination for years where, and I've already said this, I'll say it again, where they were so afraid of the Holy Spirit that they would not teach walking in the Spirit. Because they were afraid that if they taught walking in the Spirit and actually appropriating the deliverance and the hope that we have in Christ, that if we taught this, how many of you do know the Scriptures talk about the Holy Spirit a lot? I'm going to mess you up. They do sometimes call Him the Holy Ghost. Don't be scared by that. But the thing is, the Scripture talks about the Holy Spirit a lot. In fact, Jesus, when He was leaving His disciples, He was giving them these promises. He says, a Comforter is coming. My Spirit is coming to live in you. So here's the thing. Why do we leave out the Spirit's continual work in our life? And then expect to not see our flesh wreak havoc on us. Oh, I've been a part of churches and a denomination where for years they thought the best thing to do was learn to hide your symptoms. Don't let the Holy Spirit deliver you from sin. Just pretend like you don't struggle with any sin and nobody will ever know. Can I tell you right now, every single one of you in your mortal body, in your flesh, you're going to struggle with sin, and I don't care how born again you are this morning. Your deliverance is in Christ, and that continual deliverance is through the Holy Spirit. Watch this. If you're not yielding to the Holy Spirit in your life, you will walk in the flesh. Galatians 5:16. Some of you know it, some of you don't. But it says this, that if I walk in the Spirit, I will not fulfill the lust of my flesh. Wait, now that was the Apostle Paul saying that. And he was teaching the church this. It is walking in the death that we experience at the cross of Jesus Christ so that the eternal life of the Spirit can regenerate us as we walk. Don't forget that. I hate it that for a generation people walked around beat up in Christianity because they weren't allowed to be honest about their problem. They weren't allowed to tell the truth about their struggles and the fact that they struggle in their flesh, and that the only victory and hope that we have over the flesh is the work of the Holy Spirit in us. Because if we talk about the Holy Spirit too much, I said this last week, I'll say it again, things might get out of control. Yeah, like people might actually walk in the deliverance that Jesus Christ died for them walking. People might actually experience change in their life. People might actually be empowered to boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. People may actually, watch this, be empowered to go out and to do ministry without anybody saying, hey, you guys, go out and do ministry. Just simply by listening to the Holy Spirit's voice and walking in the will of God in what area that He would have them to accomplish the works that He preordained for them to do. Hope through the Holy Spirit. If I can give you some advice here, all you well-meaning people, born-again believers, don't leave out the power of the Holy Spirit in your life. I don't care if people think you're crazy. From the day the Holy Spirit came down to this earth at Pentecost, people have been calling us crazy. case you've forgotten what happened at Pentecost. They looked at those men and they said, man, they're drunk. Something's wrong with them. You know why? Because there was a change. They were affected by the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter, who denied Christ to a little girl, was now boldly professing Christ to the same people that crucified him. They said, man, something is dreadfully wrong. These guys are messed up. And you know what? I hope that's what people say about me. That dude's messed up. Because I promise you, since the day I was born again, since the day Jesus Christ called me by His Spirit out of darkness and into light and empowered me by the Holy Spirit, or Holy Ghost, if you're comfortable with that, since the day I was empowered, guess what? I've been a little off. But I sure don't want to be what I was when I thought I was on. Understand? This hope comes through the Holy Spirit. You know how you know this? You know how hope takes hold? That moment when you just can't do it anymore. You know what I'm talking about? That struggle that you have. I just can't do this anymore! And you finally get to that point, and by faith you say, Holy Spirit, I can't do this anymore. That's what He loves to hear, because that's when He endues you with that dunamis power to walk out from underneath that sin that was controlling you and to walk out of this room this morning in total victory over that sin because of what Christ did at the cross. It's through the Holy Spirit that we have hope. We've seen it's hope of deliverance from sin. It's hope through the Holy Spirit. Here's the one you don't like. It's hope in the midst of our suffering. Hope in the midst of our suffering. Verse 18. For those of you who keep hearing this sermon, this might be for you again. I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Hope in the midst of our suffering. That's what blows the world away. And listen, I'm not going to park here. You've heard enough about suffering lately. But you can't break this text down right here and miss it. Because he's talking about the hope that we have in Christ. And here's the thing. We have hope even in the midst of our suffering. It is a testimony to the world that we're different. Please, when you suffer, understand, such is life. Such is life. But when you suffer for the cause of Christ, suffer differently than the world. Because they're watching to see how you handle it. And you know what's interesting about that? When they see us handle suffering with hope, just by the faith of knowing, God's got this. That's probably my number one phrase. I know I'm not taking it out of Scripture. I'm taking that one out of life. I've seen so many times, God's got this. I've seen so many things that I fretted about, so many things that I worried about, so many things that seemed detrimental at the time. And all of a sudden, God comes in and does something spectacular because He likes to do things that are spectacular for His children. So we'll go, "Woo, God, praise You. I knew You had this all along." So the thing, here's the deal. God's got it. Everything. If you're in Christ, let me tell you this. He's got you in the palm of His hand. And I love Jesus' teaching when He was on this earth. He said, "And no man shall pluck you from the Father's hand." He's got you. He's got your whole life. Little kids know it. He's got the whole world in His hand. Man, if some adults would grasp that, what kind of hope would we have if we would grasp the reality that little kids can grasp with that childlike faith? He's got this. He's our hope in the midst of our suffering. You name it. Maybe you've already been through it. Maybe you're in it right now. Maybe you're headed toward it. Let me tell you this. He's unseen hope in the midst of our greatest trial. Hope in our suffering. The hope of deliverance from sin. Hope through the Holy Spirit. Hope in our suffering. And then I love this part. I love this part for many reasons. Many of them I won't share with you. But I love this part. I'm going to read it to you again. Hope due to sonship. He said, "We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time." He goes on to say this, "Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved." Please understand this. Please don't be distracted by the things around you right now, because I want you to understand this. Here's the thing. You at one point in time were a son, you are a daughter of sin. Everybody understand? It has been passed down from generation to generation to generation through the seed of Adam. A long time ago, in a little city called Bethlehem, there was a babe born in a manger. And I know it's not Christmas yet, so we probably shouldn't talk about this. There was a babe born in a manger whose name was Emmanuel, which means God with us, who was from the seed of God. He was God's only begotten Son. And He was perfect in all of His ways, and He came to this earth in all of His perfection, and He died a brutal death in my place. Watch this. So that I could no longer be a son of Adam, a son of sin. But through that one righteous work of Jesus Christ, I can now be counted alongside of God's children. And I long for the day when my daddy reaches down here and rescues me. I long for the day. Everybody gripes about the struggle. Listen, the struggle is a part of life. It's what humans do. You can read all about it in Ecclesiastes, and Solomon just lays it out there for us. Man, life's a struggle. We work, we toil, all this stuff, meaningless, all of it's meaningless. But here's the thing. Those of us who are in Christ, we have hope that one day the adoption of sons is going to take place. And I promise you this. The wheat is going to be separated from the chaff. The goats are going to be separated from the sheep. The sons of God are going to be separated from the sons of the evil one. And I promise you, I am going to be on God's side because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. And I cannot wait. I cannot wait. Because I can approach His throne because of what Jesus Christ has done for me. I cannot wait to crawl up into my Father's lap. As a son. As a son. Understand what He said. You will be made an heir according to your suffering. That means this. The full rights and privileges that Jesus Christ has as a son. Those of us who have been reborn in Christ. One day we will have those full rights and privileges. I cannot wait. Till my hope becomes sight. But right now it's faith. And I long for that day. But in longing for that day by faith, man, doesn't it fill us with hope? That one day no one's going to see Kirk Hall as the guy who messes everything up. Because I promise, if you see me any other way, you're seeing the wrong thing. If you see anything good in me, I told my kids this a long time ago. I tell my wife all the time, if there's anything good in me, it's Jesus. I promise it's not me. But I long for the day where they don't ever have to see that guy again. For all eternity, I'm seen among the children of God as another child of God saved by the precious blood of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I have hope due to sonship. I'm His by faith right now. One day I will be His for all eternity in His presence, dwelling with Him, with all the saints that have gone before, with the angels of heaven, and the things that we know not of about heaven. Because He decided to make me a son when I was wayward, when I was lost. He came to me and He rescued me. So we see we have hope of deliverance from sin, hope through the Holy Spirit, hope in our suffering, hope due to sonship. And I'm going to end with this. Hope contrary to what we see. Hope contrary to what we see. Oh man, the world wants us all to be hopeless like them right now, right? Huh? Right? The liberals want us to be hopeless because Hillary didn't get elected. Right? And even the conservatives want us to be hopeless because Trump did. Get on the same page, people. That's my political message for the day. Golly, a house divided will never stand. Pay attention to that. But as we look at this, pay attention. The world all the time wants us to be hopeless, right? Have you ever watched the news? I can promise you, it's always worse on the news than it is in real life. Why? Because hopeless people want other people to be hopeless. Here's the thing. In Christ, we have hope contrary to what we see. We can watch it on TV and see it just like all the rest of the world, but we ought to do this. You know what? My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Because that's our hope. My hope is on Him. My hope is on what He's done. My hope is on what He's doing. My hope is on what He's yet to do, that by faith right now I accept that and receive that hope. It's contrary to what we see. Verse 24, as He talks about that, He says, hope that you can see really isn't hope at all. Who hopes for something that they already have? You ever been away from your sweetie pie? Huh? Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many of you guys went off to war? You went off to serve your country and your sweetie pie stayed home. Anybody raise your hand? Did you miss him or her? Did you have the hope of one day being reunited with that person? Huh? But let me tell you something. While you were away, you could want to kiss her on her mouth, man. And it wasn't happening. You could just trust in the fact that she promised you, honey, I'll wait. Right? Till you got that Dear John letter. I did it on purpose. So the thing is, you think about this. Oh, you hope for one day being reunited with her or with him. Okay? In case y'all didn't notice, we don't do him, her here. Or it or thing. You are what God created you. I don't know who that's for. That's for somebody. Stop trying to change His order of things. The fact of the matter is this. You long for that person. But it wasn't reality. Until you stepped off that airplane and there she was. I shouldn't have bought her a new dress. I love to see those movies of those World War II vets and things, those documentaries. When they come home, Vietnam vets, they weren't so nice to you guys. But when they came home and all the girls that had been waiting for their man, see him get off the plane and they embrace him. They had that big bright red lipstick, you know, and I don't know if that's because they'd taken a black and white film and made it color. They had that big bright red lipstick. And you know there was a joyous reunion. Let me tell you something, I longed for the joyous reunion of the saints of God with their Creator in heaven. That which by faith right now we believe and we trust in, I promise you, I still believe, contrary to what a lot of people think, I still believe Jesus is going to return. I still believe in a trumpet sound, in a trumpet call of the folks of God when we're carried to be with Him and we'll meet the Lord in the air to be with Him forever like Scripture says. I still believe in that. Watch this, but are we longing for that? Are we holding on to that contrary to what we see? I have Christians all the time who are struggling with this. Why are you struggling with this? This is a done deal. At any moment in time, the trumpet could sound and we could go home. Live like it. Even though everything around you says that the world is going to hell in a handbasket, here's the thing. If you're a believer here today, you're not. I'm going to the heaven in the clouds to be reunited with God's people and with Jesus Christ right there to be taken to be a part of His kingdom and His sonship and His family forever. But right now, I can't base that on what I see. That's where so-called Christians in the so-called American church mess up all the time. They want things that they can touch. They want tangible things. Can I tell you this? The tangible things of this world will quickly pass away. Long for the things that God has given us by faith to those who trust in Him. And I promise you this, He is faithful to reward those who diligently seek Him by faith. Those of you who are truly born again, the Word of God has a message for you. The just shall live by faith. We have hope in spite of what we see. Isn't it sad that the world bases their hope on everything that they see? Oh, we wonder why they're so hopeless, man. I would be hopeless too if I based my hope on the things the world bases their hope on. That would corrupt government, right? Everybody's getting nukes. I never really understand why we can have them and everybody else can't. Doesn't make sense to me. Because the thing is, I wish if they got them, listen to me. Just use them. Get it over with. Quit all this flexing stuff. I'm ready to go home. And I hope if North Korea ever launches one at me, 20247 Lana Lane, Porter, Texas, 77365. Right there. Because in that moment, don't be coming by my house putting toilet paper in my tree. Because in that moment in time, I promise you, I'm going to be with the one who I long to be with, the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved me from my sin. I'm leaving this place that I don't belong to, and I promise you, I have hope in that if it hit my bedroom tonight, I have hope by faith that Jesus is going to take care of the rest. What's scary to me is I look across this congregation this morning and we talk about such things, fear fills your countenance. You don't believe what I just said. And you don't believe what I just said for one of two reasons. Number one, you're a believer who's walking carnally in your mortal flesh. Or two, you're not a believer at all. Because I promise you, a believer who's walking in the Spirit has an indwelling hope from the Holy Spirit that will allow them to look death and chaos and turmoil and strife and trials and suffering in its eye and continue to sing that my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood. Right? Would you stand to your feet, every head bowed and every eye closed? You're here this morning and you say, Kurt, I came here this morning hopeless. But I don't want to leave here hopeless. Kirk, right now in my heart, I'm going to be honest with you. God is drawing me to the hope in Jesus Christ. He's drawing me away from my sin and He's drawing me to His only begotten Son as the sacrifice for my sin. I believe in my heart that God is telling me right now I need to surrender by faith to the Lord Jesus Christ as my only hope. If you're here this morning and that's you say, I need Jesus to save me from my sins. I need hope that's only found in Christ that you proclaim this morning through His Word. And I'm willing right now to repent of my sin and to turn to Jesus Christ as my Savior. Lord, if that's you, would you slip up your hand right now? I want to pray with you and pray for you. You say, Kirk, I was hopeless, but I feel God drawing me into hope. Jesus Christ. Would you slip up your hand so I can pray with you? Anyone over here says that's me. I need Jesus to save me from my sin. I tell you what, if you hold on to your sin, you hold on to hopelessness. Anyone here says I need Jesus to save me from my sin? In the middle section, would you raise your hand so that I can pray with you? Pray for you. That's all I want. Over here to my left, is there anyone who says I need Jesus to save me? I need Jesus to save me. Thank you, sir. Keep that up. It takes a real man. Surrender to Jesus Christ. Keep that hand up for me. I want to pray with you. Pray for you. Just a minute. Anyone else who says that's me, I need Jesus to save me. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Young man, I want you to look at me right now, eye to eye. I believe God's telling you in your heart today to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Listen, I don't want this to be about what I've said to you. I want it to be about what God has said to you in your heart through us looking at the Word together. That's what's happening in your life. Listen, the Bible tells us this, that we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and we believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we shall be saved. We believe that Jesus Christ came to this earth, that He lived a perfect life, that He offered Himself up on a cross for you to rescue you from your sin. We believe on the third day that He rose again. Are you willing to turn from your sin and to turn to Him as your Lord and Savior today? Listen, I want you to do this. The Bible says that we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart. Confess with our mouth to God is simply just to say and pray out loud, Lord, I'm a sinner. I'm acknowledging the fact that you have shown me in my heart that I'm a sinner. I promise you the things that you're going to pray right now don't save you. Who saves you is Jesus Christ. But are you willing to confess with your mouth that He's your Lord today? Be obedient to what He leads you to do from this point forward. I want you to pray this out loud with others. Join in if you would like. Dear Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I know that I need you to forgive me of all of my sin. I know that you died on a cross in my place to pay for all my evil. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. I also know by faith that you rose from the grave just as you said, so that I could receive new life today. Jesus, I surrender to you as my Savior and my Lord. I turn from my sin. I turn from myself. I commit and devote my whole life to you. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. Teach me to live this new life. I love you. Young man, I'm going to ask you to do something brave as everybody else is praying. I'm going to ask you to just slip out of your seat. There's going to be someone right here who's going to take a Bible. They're going to show you what just happened in the unseen realm, the world of faith. God operates. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I know I'm a believer. I can tell you the day. I can tell you exactly what happened. There's no way you can convince me otherwise. That's good. You say, man, I've been taking the blessing of hope for granted for a long, long, long time. I can't remember the last time I praised God for the eternal hope that I have in Christ. I want to encourage you, believers, to listen to the voice of the Spirit. Maybe you can't rejoice in hope because you are behaving carnal. You are walking in your flesh. Today, the Spirit is doing a work in you. I pray that you would get on your face at this altar, that you would get honest with God and humble yourself. Maybe today you need prayer. These folks down front are here to pray with you. Or maybe for the first time in a long time, and boy, I would love to see this happen. God's people would just stop for a moment, praise Him like they never have for the hope that they have in Christ. Allow the Holy Spirit to have His way in your life. Be obedient to what He leads you to do today.
Dry. So I wait.